good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cup, Hindi cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Brits Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss Native issues here, and as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hey, let's get right over to Ogama. No chit-chat, because there
lots
is a
news.
Lots of news. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Bujou, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuakwe with Native Roots Radio. As always, we start with news on what's happening in the Line 3 front. Today, the first thing I want to start with is an update video from a Rise Coalition member and leader on the ground, Nancy Bolio, who is at what is now named the Firelight Camp near the LaSalle and Coffee Pot Landings in northern Minnesota near the headwaters of the Mississippi. I'm going to put her on here, and this video is credited to the Indigenous Environmental Network.
Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, Leech Lake, and today I'm out here on the banks of the Mississippi where Enbridge plans to drill horizontally. We are here in a treaty stand, and this is our third day of being out here. So right now, we're in ceremony. Ceremony fire was lit at 7 p.m. last night. So tonight will be our first night in, and we go for 4 days. And we're asking all of our relatives from afar to come and join us in ceremony and peacefully defend our treaties and our right to exist and our right to protect the water. And if we can get, you know, people to support this treaty partnership, I think this is a beautiful movement that's only going to grow.
So Nancy, just to give you guys an idea of what's happening, Nancy and about 100 other people are on Enbridge matting right near where the Mississippi River is planned to be drilled under by Enbridge Energy to install Line 3. They have been out there in this heat wave for the past 3 days. So I really want to commend everybody who's still out there. The other thing I want to touch base on is that the Northern Minnesota Jails and the Northern Lights Task Force are already abusing and denying rights of Indigenous activists and allies. Concurrently to the treaty people gathering this weekend, Indigenous people and allies did shut down an active Line 3 pump station near the Mississippi headwaters. Approximately 200 activists who were arrested either while protesting Line 3 are actually still being held in about 9 counties. So I believe protesters in some counties have not even been booked yet. So they've been arrested and being held without being booked now for nearly 3 days. There's been multiple violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act. People are being denied requests for aid for injuries incurred during arrest and medical attention as well as medications. Family and friends are being denied the ability to check in on health and well-being. You want to make sure you call the Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan or the Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. I did put that information on Native Roots Radio. Just to update on what the Biden administration is saying so far, the Biden administration says that they're committed to that under this administration, tribal consultation is robust and tribal concerns are heard. And that is what the Biden administration told CNN yesterday. So on with the good news now, I want to bring on Lewis Eagle Thunder, who is going to share some news with us today about the Keystone XL pipeline. Lewis, why don't you come on and share the good news with us?
Yeah, it's so amazing to have amazing, great news. And I want to definitely uplift women like Nancy Bolio, Indigenous Environmental Network, and all of our women water protectors, because without them, we wouldn't be where we are today, where we can celebrate today. The Keystone XL pipeline has been completely nixed because of a basically an executive order that President Biden did. The first day, he outlawed the cross-continental permit for him, the cross-national permit. So today, they officially pulled the plug on the Keystone XL pipeline. This is a big, big win for Indian country. This pipeline was going to transfer crude oil across the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty territory, among other treaties, in Montana and the three affiliated tribes, Blackfeet Nation, all these other nations affected. And I want to uplift our indigenous activists for getting out there and making their voice heard. And shame on the Associated Press, who ran a story today talking about nixing the Keystone XL pipeline. It did not mention once indigenous activism. This is a opportunity for us to uplift our own voice. And this is another thing that we have to also understand, that we are the ones to do it first. And I want to tell Joe Biden. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just giving a direction to Ogama. You're on.
Good. Sorry about that. I just want to tell Joe Biden, you know, this isn't like Meatloaf's 2 out of 3 ain't bad song, right? We want all of them to be canceled. We want the Dakota Access Pipeline. We want, Enbridge Energy to be held responsible for what they're doing in northern Minnesota to stop Line 3. And we want all of these pipelines to be nixed, because all of them are intrusive of our current treaties, a nation sovereign treaties we hold with the United States government. And they also marginalize our communities and our justice. So I encourage everyone to definitely be politically active. This is an amazing celebration for us today. The Keystone XL pipeline being nixed. This is just one step towards Line 3 being nixed. This should give us momentum to keep going forward. And I definitely want to uplift our indigenous women and all of our activists for doing their part going forward here.
Wow. Pina Gigi, go ahead, Ogama.
Oh, thanks. I don't know, even how to feel about this right now. The news came in and Lewis called Robert, and I was hearing it through the show, and Robert could see me dancing as Lewis was telling him. I'm so excited, and it really does give me a lot of hope on what's going to happen with Line 3. And it sounds like from the Biden administration, giving some statements to CNN, it sounds like they are aware of Line 3 and what we're doing here to try to stop Line 3. And again, to uplift Indigenous voices and Indigenous activism who, personally, I've known Nancy Beaulieu and Don Goodwin about 7 years. And I know that the Indigenous Environmental Network has been working on shutting down pipelines like these for the past 30 years. So these are really big wins that are happening for Mother Earth and for Indian country. And we have really, really great news on that front today, which gives us a lot of hope.
Wow. We have to use the applause button. I never get to use it, but let's give it a shot, Wendy. Yeah, exactly. Wow, Lewis, thank you so much for coming on in such short notice. And what great news. And Wendy, wow.
Mm-hmm. Water is life. And again, let's get, this is not the first one. Let it be more pipelines.
Right on. Okay. Absolutely. All right. Thank you
guys. I appreciate it, Ogama. Thank you guys.
Ha ho. See you. Wow, Wendy and Ogama, a great time to celebrate.
Yeah, and rejoice, and things that the activism is working, and it's a grassroots organizations. All grassroots organizations are making these changes. So if you see something that you don't want, that you want to change, do it. You can do it.
And it's being done. It might not happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But it's happening. Mm-hmm. And you know what's powerful too, Wendy and Ogama and our audience, is that it's all done through prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, we just had a tremendous chief pass on, and he brought prayer to the forefront of the American Indian movement, and that's what we have to do in order to slay these dragons, mm-hmm, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next we're going to have Paul Demain, who's chairman of board of directors of Honor the Earth. We'll be right back.
Stay with us. If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Calusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Wow. Hey, we have Paul Demain, a chairman of the board of directors of Honor the Earth, and we are honored to have Paul on. And Paul, there's a lot going on here. Our head's spinning. We've reported what's happening in Dakotas with the XL. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Thanks, Robert. I'm awake today as well after an exhausting week of watching many, many things in northern Minnesota, and including lots of pipeline workers. Thousands of them are back up operating, and thousands of people who've come to stand up to protect the water. So there's no reason for anybody in northern Minnesota to be sad about the economic stimulus, because they're going to get it from both sides as long as they're neutral. If they've got, and we love Enbridge signs, people, some people ain't going to go there. And if they have signs that say we love water protectors, there might be some people that might not go there. But if the business community stays neutral, they will have a very lucrative summer the way things are going so far.
Exactly. Well, hey, I want to, before we get deep into line three, your thoughts on this this latest news?
The XL cancelization. I mean, it's where people are going. I mean, even Saudi Arabia has decided that they're going to get into renewable energy, and that drilling oil isn't the future. And it's happening all around us. We see divestment throughout the world. We see the Rockefeller family saying that they're not going to fund any more fossil fuel projects. You know, so that's the trend, and that's the movement toward renewable energy. We're not trying to deprive people of being able to fry their eggs with gas off their stove. You know, we'd like to say that if people would just constrain themselves a bit and reduce their consumption now, it could be that we could do without any of the products that are imported into our country from other foreign countries like Canada. And certainly we're happy to see that divestment. We're also happy to see that there's even been cancellation of some of these pipeline projects. In fact, several of this pipeline projects have been canceled, and Line 3 seems to be one of the one that's still on the book. And and Enbridge seems to have invested in it and saying that this is the one that they're going to pump all the money, all their political effort to buy the water policy in the Great Lakes, to buy the policy, the political community through lobbying. They spent, you know, like $60 million a year or two ago. They said they reduced the budget by $4 million to only $56 million a year after that. There is money everywhere. If you want to get money from Enbridge, I encourage people to ask them, because this is the money that should have been shared by the billionaire producers of some of these energy transportation systems that are CEOs, and they have lots of money. And for the first time, they are sharing it with people in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota, and it's all over the place. So get some candy if you want it while they still got it, because it is happening. It's Facebook ads, it's newspaper advertising, it's radio advertising. They're hiring Indians. Get in line. There are jobs at Enbridge. They need as many Indians as they can to make themselves look good for this project. Right. So I'm interested in all that money that's coming into the United States.
Hey, I'm here with Paul Demain, chairman of the board of directors of Honor the Earth, among a lot of other things you've done in your career, you know, Indians Country TV and all those great things that you've done over the years. I want to say Pini Gigi for that. Hey, it was reported that Enbridge is trying to borrow money, too, like $1 billion to pay for all this, because they're running out of money, too.
Well, you know, I can't verify that they're borrowing money, and it makes sense that in the cash flow in all of these companies are borrowed assets based on future revenues for the contracts that flow through there. In fact, a lot of it's based on future contracts, which is interesting because the Public Utilities Commission and the Department of Commerce ought to be looking at what that means when the fossil fuel industry is dying, where there's tar sands mines that are not going to be opened up because people are pulling the resources out of there. So the future looks bleak for pumping that dirty tar sands oil down through the United States to get to foreign countries, because nobody wants to buy a barrel of oil that costs $90, you know, to produce, when we're pumping oil in the United States domestically at 55 to 70. The fracking stuff is a little bit more expensive, but none of those products go in the United States other than a handful of things that are refined out. Most of Line 5 that runs through northern Wisconsin ends up in Sarnia, Ontario, Canada, because Canada's environmental laws are strict enough to prevent the damaging, the potential damaging of waterways going over the Hudson Bay area. And so the project ends up in the United States because it appears that our environmental laws are weaker and it's easier to buy public policy when you have lots of money and you're very, very rich. The Enbridge added $1.1 billion to the project because of delays. Can you imagine if the water protectors had $1.1 billion to help focus the opposition that the majority of people in northern Minnesota already had said several times during the regulatory process that doesn't appear to work, when several thousand people say they don't want it and a couple thousand people say they want it? There's a certain public order, there's a license that's given. And so we're working, you know, indigenous people are working with other people who are coming out of the backwoods. They didn't come to northern Minnesota so they could watch a pipeline company destroy the environment and dig it up and potentially endanger everything that's in the water resources, and certainly see the indigenous community standing up to this threat. For example, the 1855 Treaty Authority has never consented to this line. They are definitely in charge of being able to allow indigenous people to harvest resources, and there's a lot of disputes about jurisdictional cases of administration and environment and everything else. But the 1855 Treaty Authority looks out for those resources and licensed people to do certain things, and it allows indigenous people, Ojibwe people who have those treaties, and non-Ojibwe people who also have obligations under that contract and treaty to make sure that the resources are not only there, but they're pristine, they're eatable, they're usable. A treaty right for a resource that is damaged by chronic wasting disease or because the water, for example, in northern Minnesota, we have a drought going on in some sections on the Shell River, at the Shell River campgrounds that I've been at the last couple weeks. The water level is at historical lows. Yeah. I found some clams the other day that were trying to escape a clam bed. They only had about 12 feet to go through a dirt berm to be able to get to the river because their bog was burning, was drying out. They're going to die in the next couple of weeks if that bog is not regenerated on the Shell River. So I'm happy that we went there because it's the site of almost continuous occupancy from now 10,000 years back. It's got an old 200 to 800-year-old woodland village right at the Shell River campgrounds where we're at. I picked up a spear point the other day. Across the road is the Shell City Ghost Town, which was a contemporary, a pioneer, a half-breed, mixed-blood community right after the Treaty of 1855 in Minnesota. And down the road and down the river, less than a mile, is an ancient village that ranges from 5 to 10,000 years old. And all the activity is around the clams that are in the Shell River and near the Crow River and so forth, manufacturing buttons, glass, knives, all kinds of things. Constant work, constant presence. There's no archaeological work, study, or anything in regards to Enbridge. Enbridge's movement through that area, and yet it's one of the most historical areas that exist in Minnesota outside of that Tasca Park area where there is currently an occupation on the easement on the northern end of the Line 3 easement on the right next to the White Earth Reservation. Yeah. And so we're asking questions about archaeological issues. We're asking questions about pipeline flows. We found out from the Jefferson County, Wisconsin fiasco where Enbridge reported a 1.3-barrel leak. That's now 1,400, and they didn't announce it for 15 right. months, and now it's getting larger, and the DNR, Wisconsin DNR, has ordered them to do a re-study. I asked the question, how could you not notice 1,496 gallons of gas missing from the inventory? And the questions, the answer, the mathematical answer that came up was is that Enbridge can lose something like 190,000 gallons a day on their entire network system, and an alarm doesn't go off because it's just natural shrinkage. All that's going into the environment in ways that could damage the long-term aquifers and the lands, including other things. So there's a lot of issues.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, can you, we're ending up this segment right here. Can you give us how we can support No Line 3 up in the deep north, Honor the Earth, and what other sites can people all across?
Same old sites, stopline3.org, Honor the Earth. This event that occurred last week with the Treaty Gathering had over 150 organizations. So we just ask, go out to your church organizations, go to 350.org, go to stopline3.org and get information. There's more than ever before. There's almost 8 or 9 camps along that line right now, and resistance is sharp. And the environment is escalating, believe me. Department of Justice is up here now. They're not investigating the water protectors that we know, but we know they're observing people because of complaints about civil rights violations, kettling, you know, all kinds of things. So this thing has to be sorted out by cooler heads. And part of that is we're hoping that next week or a week or so, some of the court decisions should be made during June. And hopefully there'll be an injunction to slow this up so that we can get to the point where the feds provide a proper environmental impact statement, which the Trump administration waived. It's a Trump problem that generated this situation.
That's right. Well, Paul, thank you so, so much. Pini Gigi for coming on, and we'll be reaching out really soon. That's Paul Demain. Wow, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Thank you.
Wow.
All right. You take care. There's lots of stuff going on in the background in the last 24 hours. It's just phenomenal. We might have to go back to the program, but
yeah, we'll talk to you soon. We'll get an update again this week. Pini Gigi. Wow.
Wow. Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio, presents I'm Awake. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 74, Thursday sunny with a high near 98, Friday a chance for rain with a high near 91, and Saturday sunny with a high around 87. Hazel's Northeast is back for dine-in, takeout, curbside pickup, or free delivery. So get some breakfast favorites like the Hippie Cakes, Meat Waffle, or Jeans, Mean Fried Egg Sandwich. Hazel's Northeast is located off 29th and Johnson. Place your order or make a reservation at hazelsnetogo.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, very good, very good. Hey, jam-packed show, and Wednesday means we have solar news with Solar Bear, Robert Blake. Welcome, Robert. There's a lot of great news going on here, XL and being shot down, and it's great to be celebrating this with you today on this awesome day. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, everyone. How's it going? Are you keeping cool?
Oh, cool as a cucumber.
cool as a cucumber.
In the house. Keep the doors locked, staying in the house.
Absolutely. Did you know, Robert, this is day six, right, of this heat wave, right, in the Twin Cities?
Yeah. Oh.
And this is the earliest, Robert, that we've ever had a heat wave like this in the history of us keeping records here. So of this kind of heat wave. So. I think that says something. You know, I was watching some of the national news earlier, and some of these weather guys were on there and they were just like telling during their, you know, segment, climate change is real, man. There's like no denying it and it's in our face. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And it's, we're having August weather here in June, the beginning of June.
No spring. There was absolutely no spring. We went from cold weather to 100 degrees.
And it's messing my hair up, too.
We can't have that, man. And you were just talking about, you just ran the promo for MN350, and you were talking about the environmental justice, and, you know, that's a great commercial, by the way. I think we've really seen, right, through COVID, and we've really seen the disparities that, you know, people of color and individuals that make less income are facing. And, you know, the way we've reacted and responded to COVID. Now, can you see how we are going to react and respond, and people that don't have the ability to afford air conditioning and, you know, the these things that, you know, just are like necessities? Yeah. I mean, can you imagine how these people are, how we responded to COVID is how we're going to respond probably to climate change, right? And and one of the statistics, Robert, is, you know, 75% of the homes in the Twin Cities here don't have air conditioning, right? Because, you know, we're a northern climate, you know, city. Right. That's tough, you know, especially on days like this. And, you know, people, you just don't know it, but people die in extreme heat like this. So I'm really concerned for those individuals that aren't able to afford, you know, air conditioning or to keep themselves cool. And especially in, you know, this kind of weather.
Wendy didn't have air conditioning as a child, and I did when I was older. And it's a thing while you were talking that we need to always bring up, check on your elders, because God, I remember a few years ago, Chicago, there was a massive heat wave and a lot of people passed away just because we need to check on them, right, Wen?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the thing is if they can't afford an air conditioner, how would they be able to afford the electric bill? You know, they wouldn't even be able to run the air conditioner to pay the electric bill that's associated with having, an air conditioner. So it's a really hard thing.
Which is, you know, which is really, really important. And I want to talk about one of the stories here, because that's a perfect segue, Wendy, into what I want to talk about here. One of them is, you know, the state of Minnesota, the legislation, just passed the ECO Act. And what this act does is it essentially puts more money into, you know, energy efficiency, right? You know, what people don't understand is that the energy that we don't use, right, is the easiest way for us to save energy and conserve, right? And so, you know, being able to have, you know, better windows, better insulation, you know, the carbon emissions that come from our buildings is number one, right? It beats the gas, the vehicles. So that's what people don't understand. Like, if we could go ahead and, you know, better insulate and better do energy efficiency on our homes and our buildings, we'll be making a big dent in climate change.
Right. I know we have an older furnace and air conditioner.
And our house is older, too. I mean, the downstairs is probably insulated with newspaper from 1949, you know.
So, if that, right?
If that, yeah. So.
Well, there's going to be funds that are going to be coming for homeowners like yourself and others to do work and to do upgrades. And I think that's a really good thing. And you know, and that is a perfect example of bipartisanship and the state getting things done for the people. And, you know, but we still got a lot more work to do. But that, I think, was a really huge win off of this last legislation. You know, and another thing, Robert, the solar on schools bill passed.
Yes. I know you've been talking about that since we've been talking solar news. That's so exciting. Because, I mean, when you were running for city council, you were big on that. And I just feel like that's a no-brainer.
Well, we, you know, 2 years ago, you know, we did a presentation for the St. Paul Public Schools. And we figured out, you know, how much solar could go on all the schools. And we calculated savings. And it is just a no-brainer. And being a graduate of the St. Paul Public Schools and being a resident here in St. Paul, I think that this is just something that we need to do. And with those savings, let's put it towards our kids and our teachers, because after the job that our teachers have done through and of course, our kids, after what they've gone through this last time here during COVID, I mean, they deserve some recognition.
Right. They do. And now I'm retiring as a teacher and being a representative of Ho-Chunk Nation. I really agree with you 100%.
And the St. Paul School District just closed the schools 3 days ahead of time because of the heat wave, and there's no air conditioning, and it's like stifling in the school. So it's really dangerous for the kids and the teachers.
Absolutely. And, you know, which brings me to another story, Wendy, because you're always like the greatest segue into another story, right? But Saudi Arabia, or the United Arab Emirates, had the hottest day on record the other day, and it was 125 degrees, everyone. Mm-hmm. Oh, imagine trying to go out and get groceries or go and pick up your mail.
I'm a
in 125 degree heat.
Bob, I'm a delicate flower. I would not be leaving the house.
And I don't care when people say, but it's dry heat. It's hot. I don't care. It's hot. I don't care about dry heat.
125 degrees, everyone. That's pretty hot. Another story, the mega drought in the Southwest is taking its toll on the Colorado River. You know, this river serves 40 million people. It's like the lifeblood of the Southwest. You know, Lake Mead and these other huge lakes out there are just being bone dry, sucked dry. They're seeing islands, Robert, that they've never seen before out there. So, you know, and we have a lot of agriculture out there on the West Coast too. So, you know, this is serious, serious stuff. I think the federal government's going to eventually get involved here very shortly, Robert, and start issuing water warnings out there. And really interesting story. I think we should be following this and watching this.
Well, Bob, we were up at the headwaters just recently, and the water's low. And we drove by the dam, Wendy.
The Ford Parkway Bridge here in St. Paul, where the Mississippi River is. And there's an island there where people like bring their boats up on. The whole island is, I've never seen it so big before. The water is so low.
Right. We have our own drought here, and we should immediately get into no watering right away too here.
Yeah. And that's how come, you know, when I was running for city council again, Robert, we were talking about this. You know, I was talking about the rights of nature, and I was, you know, talking about we need to be the first city, you know, because we are a headwater state. We have a moral obligation to the rest of this country to provide good, clean water to our brothers and sisters, you know, in the southern states, you know, that we need to take care of the river up here. And that's a perfect example of, you know, of us, like, you know, doing our part, right? And taking care of the river, because this is going to be very serious, everyone. And, you know, I used to work for the USDA, and, you know, the Midwest is the breadbasket of the world. You know, we grow a lot of crops or a lot of food, you know, which requires water. So, you know, if we don't take care of that, if we don't take care of our rivers and our watersheds here, like stopping things like pipelines, right? I mean, a perfect example. You know, how are we going to feed, you know, our people, the people of the world, the people of this country? We can't eat oil, you know. Right. So,
yeah, and it's the global warming is really happening, and it's scary because, you know, I'm 60 years old and I'm in good shape, so I'm going to live a long time, and I don't want to see the global warming happening. I mean, in my lifetime, before it seemed like so far out, and now it's happening today, Bob.
Yeah, and that's interesting too, because Robert, you guys are just like three for three today, because that leads me into the next story. And I can't believe it, but here it is. It's CO2 now is at its highest levels in human history, and we haven't seen this since the Paleocene epoch, between 4.1 and 4.5 million years ago. And so one of the scientists says that we have to do something now. There's no waiting 10 years, 20 years, 100 years. We have to start doing something now. So, yeah. And the last thing I want to say, the guy that killed the bear up at Red Lake Reservation, he was sentenced to 15 months in the federal prison, and he got a fine. And I think that is just great news. Don't go on to our reservations and kill the animals.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome news. That's a good segue. We got the thank you so much, Robert Blake, with the solar news. We're at Solar Bear. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break with our sacred animal portion.
Stay with us.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Getting vaccinated is the most powerful tool to keep ourselves and loved ones healthy and to end this pandemic. Get your vaccine and get back to what matters most to you. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine. Again, that website to schedule your free COVID-19 vaccine is ramseycounty.us/COVID vaccine.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm not Jane Fonda.
That's awesome. You got her to do that. I love it. A friend of mine at work texted me today, and another friend is on Instagram with you and saw pictures of you and Jane Fonda. So Jeff, one of my ex-coworkers, texted me and said, how did Ted get a picture with Jane Fonda?
Well, I'm the selfie king. Isn't he just awesome? Needs to know, hey, that's what fantastic. Is this portion brought to you by?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Well, that never gets old. Hey, all things are our relatives, and what we do to everything we do to ourselves, all is one. Black Elk. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the local and state level. Welcome and tell us your name.
Hi, everybody. Yes, my name is Hanajihihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Daga, I can't remember Curtis. His name. I said Curtis, but I can't remember his native name now. I said it yesterday. Mashke Hanajinga.
Wow, you remembered.
I think so. It just popped into my head. But again, I have to call him and make sure that I'm pronouncing it properly, because that would be terrible if I'm saying it wrong.
Exactly.
But it means walks on white clouds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was really honored when he gave me that name. So.
Yeah, it fits you. And so does mine.
Mm-hmm. Distant thunder.
We had thunder going on. Now it's sunny.
Well, we were hoping a little bit of we'd get a little rain, but I guess not. We're going to stay in this hot drought for a while now. But I have an article here that was given to me by our number one fan, Tiergan.
Hey.
Yeah, and she gave it to me when she was over last weekend. And it is about 2 years old, but it still holds yeah. true for today, you know,
Definitely.
Some of these things. So the article was written by the Rapid City Journal, and it was written by Patrick Springer, Forum News Service, December 27th, 2018. And the article is, Do Bison Grieve? Mm. Buffalo gather around stallion and seem to be mourning the horse's death. Now, the first thing I wanted to say when I saw this, that there is a difference between bison and buffalo.
Yeah,
Do you know the difference, Robert?
Well, they called... the colonizers called the bison a buffalo because they thought it looked like some kind of animal that doesn't come from this country.
That's right.
I listened to the show.
That's exactly right. So yeah,
that was a couple of years ago.
It is the name here in the United States is bison.
Yep.
And buffalo, like a water buffalo, that comes from that's native to Africa and Asia.
Oh.
Yeah, and the bison here are from North America and Europe, and they are a distinct two different animals. So I just wanted to clear that up.
No, that's good.
I was just surprised that the article used both bison and buffalo. So
well, they have that football team called the Buffalo Bills, mm-hmm. Buffalo, New York.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You're from New York.
I never knew really the difference, but that's the difference.
Hey, look at
So what's that?
Ogama put that up.
Oh, okay. Did she put a picture of a buffalo?
No, she put what you just said down.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Here's the article. In Fargo, North Dakota, Tiffany Crago hiked to a remote valley in the Craigie Badlands of the Theodore Roosevelt National Park to say her goodbyes to a stallion named Gray Ghost. Gray Ghost was admired by those who follow the wild horses in the park for his flowing tail and mane, and as well, he's pale and like gray, but a picture of him, he looks like he's all white. His tail, his mane, his body is like all like light gray and white, and he's just absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
He was a fan favorite, Crago said. I thought he was beautiful and I liked him and I was happy when I saw him, but Gray Ghost had been looking sickly for the past year and he was slowing down and losing weight. He was in rough shape, Crago said. His last band, which include three mares and a colt, had been stolen by a rival stallion who took advantage of Gray Ghost's physical decline. It was evident he was struggling.
Oh.
So it was no great surprise when a friend told Crago that he had discovered Gray Ghost's body earlier. And the next day, Crago hiked to the spot to see Gray Ghost one last time. Crago, who lives nearby Beach, North Dakota, had gone to the park regularly to observe the photograph of horses in the park's south unit for a time, for at least 3 years. Gray Ghost died in a location in the park where he had spent most of his 16 years, in a small valley surrounded by hills and trees.
Oh.
She said it was almost like he went home. It was beautiful where he was and beautiful where he laid himself to rest.
Oh.
Yeah, but soon after her arrival, Crago heard a noise on the hillside behind her. She turned around and saw a line of buffalo on top of the hill staring down at Gray Ghost's body. A female buffalo walked toward the still horse and stared at Crago, who walked away from the body. The female of the and two others then approached Gray Ghost's body and did something Crago didn't expect. They began to lick his leg, she said. A few minutes later, other buffalo took their turn, one after another. Then the bull of the group of the almost 30 buffalo formed a circle around Gray Ghost, giving Crago the impression they were protecting him. I don't know enough about bison to know if this behavior is normal, but to me it appeared as if they were paying their respects, she wrote in a Facebook post on her page, Dakota Ground Photos. It was amazing to see how each of them, one by one, gently licked him and then moved on. Others have described similar scenes of buffalo appearing to mourn members of their herd that died. In one case, a photograph of buffalo surrounding a dead buffalo in Wind Cave National Park was similar to the gathering Crago photographed and described. In another case, outside Yellowstone National Park, an observer with the Buffalo Field Campaign, a group opposed to the slaughter of park bison and wander outside the park described the buffalo that appeared distressed when they heard members were shot and killed. So the buffalo would come. So I think that this is a really wonderful article. There's people in this news article that kind of say that we really can't put human emotions to animals. Mm-hmm. And I think that when people do that, it just makes it easier for them to misuse animals treat them badly.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Animals, there's study after study after study that all different types of animals from all walks of life and all over the world have been noted in their mourning process and their grieving process. And we need to be able to know that grieving and sadness is just not for us.
I witnessed that with the crows and the wolf. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
I do remember that, yes. And our own dogs. We had two dogs that lived together for 16 years. And when one died, the other one was crying every single night. Mm-hmm. And then he only lasts 2 weeks afterwards. But I could go on and on about this, and that I really feel like animals deserve more than what we give them.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And thank you, Tiergan, for that article.
That's a very emotional way to end the show. What a great show. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I want to thank Lewis for coming on, Paul Domain, Nancy, Bob Blake from Red Lake. How could I forget that? And, of course, Ogama and Pini Gigi Wendy for all those sacred animal stories that you give us. They're very emotional at times, and this one was very emotional. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Stop line three.
Get vaccinated.